Good morning to you all. We offer you a special welcome if you're a visitor for the first time. Today we have three services and you're welcome to them all. Pastoral news. Ken Trigg has moved to Linton Lodge in New Malden and he's happy there. And Margaret Smith is out of hospital. On Christmas Day, about 50 people shared a lunch together here. There was good food and good entertainment, and we give thanks for the spirit of our church. And finally, Steve would like to say something.
I've received a letter from Margie Grant from WellCare, which says, "On behalf of all at WellCare, I acknowledge with grateful thanks the generous Christmas gifts and donation from your church. It was a pleasure to speak at your gift service and offer a personal thank you to the congregation and to share with them how their generosity supports local families. The committee, staff, and project members greatly appreciate the gifts and your good wishes, with the encouragement for you from you for the work of our project. It enables us to continue to provide a service for young families in Kingston. We would like to wish everyone at Kingston United Reformed Church a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Margie Grant."
Can I give a word of explanation as to why we have a flyer for a nightclub on the communion table? I was walking down on Christmas morning and it was stuck on the wall outside the Hippodrome, because that's where it comes from. And they were having obviously some sort of a special promotion, and it was, they wanted to give money to homeless people. Lovely. And their place to make that happen is Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness. On there it just says KCAH. You might not, people giving money might not know what the C means. But isn't it great that KCAH have got themselves to the place where when the nightclubs think about, we want to help homeless people, they think of the churches? Something really to give thanks for, and to give thanks for their work, of which we are a tiny weeny part.
A child is born, a child to save us, a child is born, a child to challenge us, a child is born, a child for the world. Let us share the news with great joy. We're going to join together to sing Love Came Down at Christmas, and this is Margaret Davis's favourite hymn. So we're going to sing it as well as we can, and while that's happening, Kathy's on the phone to Margaret and is going to play it. So give it your best efforts. Love Came Down at Christmas.
Love Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Praise God for the calmness after the storm. Praise God for laughter, for thank yous, for words of praise and surprise. Praise God for Bethlehem's birth, for Calvary's suffering, for Easter's life. Praise God. Here we are, Lord, not very many, not very wise, not very powerful, not rich, most of us by the standards of the world, but we have come to celebrate the birth of Jesus among us. We have come because of what you have done. And we give you thanks that you have promised that you will never leave us, you will not forsake us. You have warned us that there will be times of darkness, but you have shown your love in a special way. Forgive us when we doubt you. Forgive us when we allow fear to overwhelm us. Forgive us when we insist that only that which is loud is precious. Only that which is middle-aged is of value. You come, creeping in quietly, coming in vulnerability, born to be with us, born to love us, born to save us, born to free us. Thank you. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now forever. Amen.
Right. Thank you. I've got a question to ask you. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody. Did you have a good Christmas? Right. Did you get lots of lovely presents? Yes. Are you going to tell us one? What did you have? Present with two pencils and a card? That sounds interesting. What about you, Dahi? A toy? What sort of toy? Don't say you've forgotten already. You gave her some presents. Well, that was very kind. Now, you will find round the church there are five parcels. They're not actually for you. They're for everybody. And if we ask the people sitting near them to hold up their hands, could you go and collect them for me, please? Right, Kathy's got a parcel. Go to Kathy. Can anybody, right, Dahi, there's one over there. Look. Gordon's got his hand up. Anybody else? One, right at the back. Right, one, two, three. Who's off it, don't? Right. And one. How many have we got? One, two, three, four, five. Right. Okay. Let's start with the little ones. You can open them for me. Perhaps we'll ask Esley to help, shall we? Any ideas what they might be? Ah, a heart. Well, we've got three hearts. I wonder if these are hearts as well. No? Oh, I don't know. Yes, right. A heart with a little bird on it. And a Christmas heart. Right, what do hearts mean? What are they the sign of? What do you want to love? If you sometimes people say, I love you, or they will send a card, instead of writing love, they draw a heart, don't they? And these hearts were around the church to remind us that God sent us a present at Christmas. What did he send? Here's the clue. He sent love. He sent his love. He sent Jesus. And Jesus showed us how to love. So one of our presents for other people after Christmas could be to show that we love them. Right, pop them down there with the baby. We'll leave them there for now.
We join to sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Hannah has prayed for the gift of a child, and that prayer has been answered. And now she leaves the boy Samuel in the temple, returns year after year, but still she leaves him there. And who's reading this? Susie is reading this to us. I guess that means your mum's not well. She hurt her arm. Send her our best wishes.
The reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 2. verse 18 to 20 and 26. In the meantime, the boy Samuel continued to serve the Lord, wearing a sacred linen apron. Each year, his mother would make a little robe and take it to him when she accompanied her husband to offer their yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say to Elkanah, "May the Lord give you other children by this woman to take the place of the one you dedicated to him." After that, they would go back home. The boy Samuel continued to grow and to gain favor both with the Lord and with people. Amen.
Amen. So this is how the lectionary works. 2 days ago, Jesus was born, and today's 12. Hurrah! This is the only story in the scriptures, the canonical scriptures, that we have of what it was like for Jesus growing up. And we now know that Martin is going to read this passage to us.
So the second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Every year the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went to the festival as usual. When the festival was over, they started back home. But the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. His parents did not know this. They thought that he was with the group. So they travelled a whole day and then started looking for him among their relatives and friends. They did not find him, so they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. On the third day, they found him in the temple, sitting with the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his intelligent answers. His parents were astonished when they saw him, and his mother said to him, "My son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried trying to find you." He answered them, "Why did you have to look for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand his answer. So Jesus went back with them to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew both in wisdom, gaining favour with God and people. Amen.
Amen.
Before I say anything else, I want to say this to you. I'm sorry, hey John. I want to say this to you. There are plenty of ways of following Jesus and being a devout Christian that pay no attention to being a parent. You do not have to have children to be an effective Christian. Family and all those concepts, which are helpful for some, I know they are not helpful to everybody. That having been said, that's the health warning. I'm looking at these texts, and that's where I start. So here we have stories of two sets of devout parents bringing up their sons to show the faith, but the children that they have different understandings of the faith that the parents try to hand on to them.
It's surely true that Mary and Joseph did not have a clue what they were saying yes to when they said yes in the birth of their son. And Hannah and Elkanah dedicated their son and left him with the old man Eli in a way that for us would be totally unimaginable. They, though, thought of themselves as returning the boy to God. Hannah understood him to be a gift from God, and she was returning him. And the prophet, the judge Samuel, grows to be a major political figure, a leader of the people. And as an aside, every year, when Hannah goes to the temple, she brings a cloak, brings a robe, different in different translations, for the boy Samuel. Annually, she produces this thing, and it's given to him. And when Saul was king and deposed, and he ordered the woman of Endor to raise up this ghostly vision for him, a man appears wrapped in a robe, and Saul knew that it was Samuel. By the description, old man in cloak, he knew that it was Samuel. The cloak was his distinguishing feature. All his life, that is what he wore. And it's worth remembering that even those people who have a high degree of commitment to all sorts of stuff still can have their psychological hang-ups. This man, as a leader of the people, still chooses to wear a garment that at some level, some way, takes him back to what his mother used to bring him year after year. So if there are psychological hang-ups from others, let me ask us, what are ours? So it might be a charming thing that links us to our parents. It might be a blinkered view of people. It might be something that we need to shift. So as I said, the story of the boy Jesus in the Gospel according to Luke is the only story of Jesus growing to be a man that we have. It's a story of a boy growing separately, separating himself from his parents. It's a story of someone coming to understand who they are, separate from their parents. And he takes the boy Jesus in Jerusalem, takes advantage of the fact that he can have time with those who are the wise ones of his faith. And he takes time and he asks them questions. So at this phase of his life, when a boy becomes a man, he attends Passover, and that's part of the deal. As part of your maturing process, you go to Passover. And here was Jesus at his first Passover, and that explains how it is that they missed him. For years and years, Jesus would have traveled with the women and the children. And this was the year when he would have been traveling with the men. And somewhere he gets lost in the middle. So his parents realize the mistake, come crashing back. But the whole story itself tells us a lot about the world that Jesus lived in, a world that we could easily look at with quite a bit of warmth and nostalgia. A whole extended family group where children had room to roam. This is the story of when Jesus has come to understand who he is. He's in the temple asking questions and listening. Two things there. Asking questions and listening. There are people who love to ask questions. They want to know. They ask questions. But they're not necessarily the best at the listening. You get asked the question and you can hear that they're busily working out what the next question should be. It's certainly true that if you want to develop, if you want to know more, then you have to be asking questions. And the two questions that human beings need to wrestle with are these. Who am I? Why am I here? But of course, in that story of Jesus, there are two styles of learning. You've got Jesus in the temple asking the questions, but then you also have the picture of Mary chewing things over, pondering, listening to her thoughts and reflecting. That was Mary's style. It's not just about asking questions, it's about the listening, it's about thinking, working it out. Chewing the cud of your own experience. So, what's our learning style? How are we developing, maturing Christians? Questions? Do we listen? Do we take the time to reflect upon our lives and see what God is saying and doing for us? Are we curious? Have we let our brains get lazy and flabby? The desire to know more is surely a godly thing. Your father and I were worried, Mary says to Jesus. And Jesus takes the title Father from Joseph and gives it to God. It's a pivotal moment in the life of Jesus. It's a pivotal moment in the relationship between Jesus and his parents. But we need not to think that Jesus is some cocky, arrogant kid who then proceeds to boss his parents around. The story goes on to say that he goes home and he lives his life under the discipline of his parents. And as we know, the gospel is largely silent about his growing up. But then, of course, you've got to ask the question, what does that silence say? Well, I would suggest to you, it says that he was rather ordinary. He was a real boy, he was a real youth, he was a real man. And the tradition of the church is that he worked in the carpenter's shop for 30 years, in his 30s. He worked there, and he worked there because his father Joseph had died, and he was the one looking after his mother, providing for his siblings. But that's not in the scriptures, that's just the tradition of the church, and also an argument from silence. There's a phrase that is used both in the story of Samuel and in the story of Jesus, and it's this. As they grew, he grew. They advanced in favor with God and with people. Advanced in favor with God and with people. And I can argue this later. I think that most of us, though it's not really true, I think most of us are diminished in favor with God as we grow. When you're newborn, you're just there. You're just lovely. You're just lovable. And, you know, if you're brought up in a wholesome environment, you're a lovable thing that is just loving and just receiving. But as we get older, so we start to learn about manipulation. We start to learn about thinking that we have to deserve love. We have to do tricks to earn love. But Samuel and Jesus grew in status with God. But I can quite understand that they grew in status with people because society is set up that it's the middle age that are valuable. So they would have grown in status with people when they left behind childish things and they moved in to their middle years when people really matter, don't they? Samuel and Jesus grew in status with God and with people. And the writer, of course, the writer of the Gospel according to Luke, would have been aware of the writings of Samuel, the record of the life of Samuel. And that phrase, why would the writer of the Gospel according to Luke use the phrase that had been used about the prophet Samuel? Why? Why did the writer of the Gospel according to Luke use that phrase? I would suggest two things. I would say that to make the point that Jesus was part of a tradition. He didn't just appear with no roots. He had his Jewish tradition. He was is part of the prophetic tradition. It's an arrow that points back to that whole tradition. He's in a faith tradition. That's who Jesus is. He also is in the tradition of people called to leadership. That's who Jesus is. Like Samuel was called to leadership, so Jesus is called to leadership. A man with roots in his faith community. But the other challenge of these readings, of these babies and children growing, is for those of us who've left childhood behind. Does that mean then that we aren't able to grow and to mature any further? That we just reach a certain level and then you stop? Is that what it means? I would like to say that for me, some of my most profound times of learning comes when old people talk about the new things that they have learned. I'm not talking about I remember when and the nostalgia. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the liberation that some experience in their old age, a liberation intellectually, a liberation to enjoy life, to enjoy the gifts of life that sometimes are squeezed out of us in our middle years. Able to get back in touch with the joy and the delight of life. And if you are thinking about the things of God, then we never come to a place where we can say, oh yeah, I know, tick, I've got it all sorted. Really? Really? If you've got it all sorted, my friend, then what you've got sorted is pretty thin beer. Pretty thin. Because if we're in the world of God, there is always more to know. And that's the great thing about it. That's the exciting thing about it. I know that for some, it makes them anxious. The question is, are we brave enough to go into the temple and ask the questions? Are we humble enough to listen for the answers? And are we brave enough to apply them to our lives as we too grow in status with God? Let us be still, and then we will pray. Questioning Christ. If ever I find myself possessed by your parents' anxieties, wishing you were not sitting with teachers, but were safely and silently by my side, Help me to learn from your rebellion. And teach me the joy and humility of learning with others. May your word dwell richly in us. Adventuring Christ, teach us the ways of discipleship, open to discovery, growth, wisdom, and compassion. Teach us to treasure these things in our hearts and to expect them in our Christian community. Teach us to give thanks and to play our part in sharing the love which binds all things together in perfect harmony. Thank you, Lord, we pray. Amen. Discovered this hymn in the hymn book. Don't think I've ever sung it before, but I think the hymn, the tune will carry us through as we use some words we've maybe never sung before. Shepherds came their praises bringing. So let us pray. Thank you, living God, that you dare to come to us in the child Jesus, that you took the risk of being vulnerable and dependent. And we pray for justice for children, that throughout the world they may live without fear of war, that their daily needs may be met, and grow, realizing your gifts hidden within them. We pray today for faith for children, for the children in the life of our church, for those who teach them, who point them towards a depth of relationship with you. We pray that their spirits would grow to know you and love you, their Creator. We ask that you would bless those whose spirits are stunted by poverty and by mindless wealth. That they may know your purpose for them. We pray today for loving parents for children. We pray for those who no longer see their mum or their dad. We ask that you would bless the contact centre, and we ask that you would bless Jean Thompson, strengthen her for this important work. We pray for those children who know what it is to be abused, exploited. And those who find these terrible things in their closest family environments. We pray for those who are childless, those who never met the right person, those whose physical anatomy means that they are not able to have children. We pray for those who made a choice to be childless and who now regret it. And we pray for those who feel themselves to be swimming in a sea that shouts that all that matters is family and children and a very conventional understanding of that word. For those whose families are different. For gay couples bringing up their children. For step families. For grandparents bringing up their children. Pray for those families where a child is ill, those in hospital today. We pray for those families where a child is dying. Ask that you would surround them with your love. And we pray for ourselves that the child within us be set free to respond to life with creative freedom, that the child within us would know that there is more to learn, more of life to be lived, and that regardless of the number of years that we have on our bones, we would know that with you, Lord Jesus, we are your loved children. We bless you, baby Jesus, for coming among us, playing beside us, laughing with us. And we thank you for the gift of Christmas and all that it means on the best of days. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our offering will now be taken.